Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee.
Worthy is the Lamb who Well, you never know what's going to happen when you come in an apostolic church on a Sunday night. Praise God. I feel such a wonderful, wonderful flow of Holy Ghost power and anointing in this house tonight. Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, our junior quizzers were involved in a quiz in which they took first place. And we didn't have all of them here, but we have some kudos here for Tyler. Tyler, you come up tonight. Tyler took second place overall in the quiz tournament. And second place is both of these yours? They are? Okay. Put that around your neck. Hold the other one up high. Give the victory sign and smile. Ah, praise God for young men and women that are putting the word of God in their heart tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Is anybody of the opinion tonight that God is just blessing you more than you ever thought would be possible? I mean, anybody just thrilled with what God's doing in your life? Just when you lift up your hands, you feel His anointing and His power. Do you wake up? Is there anybody that just wakes up in the morning and you're just giddy about the day because you know God's going to be all over the day and all wrapped up in your life? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Listen to me. You can't do this without the joy. And don't let life bog you down. Don't let life obscure your vision of God. Praise God. We're not going to be here long. There's going to be the sounding of a trump. Oh, that's right. He's going to break those eastern skies. And He's going to ransom His church out of this earth. I don't know what you're fighting right now, but there's no giant going to be able to keep you out if you've got a mind that's made up. There's no mountain that's going to be strong enough or high enough to defeat your faith in God. You need to get an attitude about it. Praise God. We're going to do a little work tonight, and I think probably we're just going to have a little Bible study. And I'm not going to keep you a long time. And we're going to read some scripture. And we're going to celebrate what is the cornerstone of the church of the living God. In Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He probes them with a question, "Whom do men say that I am?" And then later, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter boldly said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I don't know if he understood completely what he was saying, but Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in the heavens." Praise God. And He said, "You are Peter," or in the Greek, Petros, small stone. "But upon this rock," Petra, rock of Gibraltar, rock, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And the rock that He's talking about is the answer to the question that He probed them with. "Whom do men say that I am?" Or, if you would, the identity of Jesus Christ. It all begins with Him. And when the apostle's talking about it, he said, "Listen, church, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that was rejected of the builders, but has become the head of the corner. He is to the Jews a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, but to us, He's precious. And we don't struggle because we know who He is." My God, if you know who He is, give your neighbor a high five and tell him Jesus is God Almighty. Touch somebody else and say, when you've called on the name of Jesus, you've called on the name of God. Anybody know that in this house? Anybody glad about that here tonight? Anybody still thrilled about the revelation and the knowledge that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hallelujah. We're going to continue our study in the book of Isaiah tonight. We'll make a little run through the 40s. We talked about it this morning. But let's, for a jumping off place, do Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. And would you say, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Well, praise God. Let's give God a hand praise of worship. You can be seated. Lift up praise and thanks for his word tonight. We magnify you. We worship you. Somebody shout, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God. The Lord is one. Randy, give me Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Somebody shout, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God. The Lord is one. Shema Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. The Shema, the highest utterance for all the Hebrew people. There is but one God. It's the heart of it all. It's the core of it all. Jesus said it's the foundation of it all. The apostle said it's the chief cornerstone of it all. You got to get this. You got to know this. And when you do, you got to live on this. Don't get off the cornerstone. Don't quit talking about it. Don't quit singing about it. Don't quit sharing about it. Jesus is God. Now, what we're going to do tonight is in overview through this 40th chapter, you have the introduction of John. And John is the introducer to Israel of Jesus Christ. And a week ago for Easter, we said, when we quoted him, when he points across Jordan and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he's introducing Jesus. But this 40th chapter identifies Jesus. And in chapter 40, verses 9 and 10, after this discussion, prophetic discussion about John the Baptist and what his function will be. In verse 9, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that brings forth good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Everybody say, behold your God. John is introducing Jesus, and Isaiah said, here's the alarm. Wake up, Judah. Wake up, Zion. Behold your God, who's coming down that dusty road, down to Jordan where John is baptizing. He called him the Lamb of God, but Isaiah said, behold your God. Verse 10, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. So in the days of John the Baptist, God is coming to earth. And if you understand the incarnation, you know that God came robed in flesh to become the Lamb of God to purchase your soul. Now, beginning in Isaiah 40 and through, say, the 45th chapter, and it'll continue throughout the book, but God is making an appeal to backslidden Israel, Judah. God's making an appeal, and it is so unbelievable to me, but God is beating a drum to them because they've fallen off into idolatry, and the theme theme of his mantra is this: I am the Lord your God. He doesn't have to tell them that. He doesn't have to convince them of that. He doesn't have to appeal to them about that. He could just kill them all and banish them all and start all over again. But he loves them and he's in covenant with them and he wants to remind them that he is Almighty God. And that's the core of his ministry through these chapters in Isaiah. And he asked them a question that we read there in Isaiah 40 and 25 or 26. To whom will you liken God? We talked about it this morning, but he's trying to get them to contrast their weak, mute, powerless idols with the God that hung the stars in their places. He's trying to shock them and wake them up to the fact that there's a God in heaven who loves them and they don't have to be bowing down to the stump of a tree. Well, praise God. And in the course of these chapters, God, in appealing to them and revealing himself to them, he gives us a series of revelatory statements that resonate all the way down to the New Testament and where we are tonight and even in our encounter with Jesus Christ. So this is awesome and powerful for the Jews of Isaiah's time. It's powerful prophetically, but it preaches to us about the identity of Jesus Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. And we're just going to pluck our way through these 4 or 5 chapters tonight for just a little while. And we're going to observe what God is relating to Israel and the revelatory nature of it for us and our understanding of who the man Christ Jesus really was. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25. Praise God. And everyone say, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. And again, he's saying, what idol, what man, what kingdom are you going to compare to me? And he identifies himself as the Holy One. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is the Holy One.
Praise God. Give us that passage in Mark there, Brother Randy. Mark 1
and 21. Through 27. You want to be my reader for me tonight, Dawson? The plan is it's going to be there. Mark 1, 21.
And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught.
Jesus is in Capernaum and at the synagogue.
And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes.
And he's teaching with authority.
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out.
There was an unclean spirit in church.
Saying, let us alone.
Now you wonder sometimes why we worship like wild people in the house of God. I read a story in the Word of God that said when David went into the house of Saul and Saul was beset by an evil spirit, that when David began to praise God, the evil spirit had to pack his bags and leave. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the house of God with an evil spirit. I'm going to shout till they leave. I'm going to dance until they got to go out in the foyer. If you congregate in the hall and in the foyer during worship, people are going to get a wrong idea about you. Read on.
Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?
The devil saw him and said, leave me alone. What have you to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth? And then?
Art thou come to destroy us?
Have you come to cast us? And in another reading, he says, before the time. This is not on the schedule. You're not supposed to be here. Go ahead.
I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.
Praise God. The devil said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Right. The God of Isaiah It's talking back there in Isaiah chapter 25 to his people. And he is entreating them to recognize who he is. And he is identified by the prophet as the Holy One. Now, this is before the incarnation. This is before Bethlehem. But it's the same God in Isaiah 700 years before. He is by Isaiah, the Holy One of Israel. And then robed in flesh, emerges at Bethlehem and through Nazareth and now at Capernaum. And he's in a man's body. And no, none of the people know who he is. But the devil says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One. Well, praise God. And if you can't get the business of the Holy One, we've got a math refresher for you back in the back after service. Children understand. One. It takes a theologian to mess up. One. But listen to me. There's one God. Nowhere in your math class will you ever be able to substitute three for one. They'll never be comparable. They'll never be equal. They'll never be the same. Nowhere in physics or math or calculus, or in engineering, or in any field where the number is the coin of commerce. Nowhere in life can you just magically translate three in one. But theologians with their foot still back in pagan Rome, serving polytheistic theologies, they're loosed and they are fast and loose with their numbers. But Isaiah knew, and the devil knows, there's a Holy One. There's only one that's holy. He's the God of Isaiah in Isaiah 40, but he's Jesus of Nazareth in Mark chapter 1. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isaiah 40 and 25 and 26, he said, who are you liken me to? I'm the Holy One. And I want you to make the connection here. Verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things? This is in the same flow of context. He's letting you know that the Holy One is the creator. He's the one that put the stars in their places. And by the power of his strength, not one of them faileth. You want to know who put the stars in their places? That's this one named Jesus. You want to know who holds him there tonight? It's this same one. This Holy One. My God, I will shout about this. Don't tell me I make too big of a deal about this. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. Woo! There's Holy Ghost in the knowledge of the name of Jesus. You know, one of the reasons T.D. Jakes is so powerful and so widely received? Because secretly he knows there's one God. He won't preach it. He won't preach it. But he knows it because he was raised up around it. But there's more money to be made out there in those Trinitarian circles. He became a millionaire overnight on TBN. But I want you to know, don't you sell the truth. You buy the truth and sell it not. My God, don't let anybody steal this knowledge, this precious knowledge from you. I feel wildness in the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Chapter 41 and verse 10. As God is in this reading asserting his deity to Israel, we are witness to the interchangeable nature of God's titles. If we would go to Revelation chapter 12 or Revelation chapter 20, we would see that the devil is called the serpent and the dragon and Lucifer. And they'll reel off four or five names for him. But nobody ever accused him of being schizophrenic or a multiple personality devil. He's got lots of titles, but it's just one devil. I want you to entertain this. Forget the theologians and the commentaries. God's got 1,200 titles in the Word of God, but there's only one God. There's only one God. And the titles are interchangeable. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Everybody say, for I am thy God. This is first person God talking to you. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I know he's talking to Israel, but my God, if I was in need tonight, I would see if I couldn't reach in there and get a hold of some of that. Because sometimes you can get close enough to somebody else's promise and it'll become your promise. Yes, sir, I'd be laying claim to that tonight. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And so he is God. He is the Lord thy God. You see, Lord and God are interchangeable. They are one and the same. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Now, this is an affectionate worm Jacob. He's not being critical of Jacob. He loves him. Jacob have I loved. Esau's the one I hate. But this is something affectionate that God uses to talk about Jacob when he's talking about his backward ways. Oh, you worm, Jacob. He said, fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. And thy Redeemer, say Redeemer. And the Holy One of Israel. You see, the Lord and the God and the Holy One of Israel and the Redeemer are all the same one. Well, praise God. Praise God. How many of you know the answer to the question, who redeemed me from my sins? Here he is in the Old Testament before he has a body. Here he is in the Old Testament before he has blood. But he's going to take care of that in the womb of Mary. And God is going to come forth. Look up, Israel. Behold thy God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Thank you for the knowledge of who you are and what you've done. Praise God. Isaiah 42 and 8. 42 and 8. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. He said, I'm the Lord, and that's my name, and I'm not going to share glory with anybody. I'm not going to share glory with anybody. Just a sidebar. If you sing in this church, the glory goes to God. If you preach in this church, the glory goes to God. If you teach in this church, the glory goes to God. If whatever you do here, the glory goes to God. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not about me and you. It's all about him. Luke 19, 37 through 40. Luke 19, 37 through 40. Can you follow me, Brother Randy? You kind of get the drift. You know what I'm doing. You got the list.
And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of
Olives. He's coming into Jerusalem for the last time. We call it the triumphant entry.
The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God.
The whole multitude stood there and said, be reverent. Don't move. Fold your hands and close your mouths. It's time to be in the presence of God. Duh. And so they stood as silent sentinels upon the thoroughfare. No one lifting their voice. They dared not even lift their eyes for fear of someone thinking they had moved in the house of God. But the whole multitude got with it. They said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus. They began to rejoice. Read it.
With a loud voice for with a mighty work.
They were quiet because God's nervous.
Loud voice.
They were quiet because God's old and nervous.
A loud voice.
They didn't make much noise because that's not compatible to reverence.
A loud voice.
Well, everybody say with a loud voice. I want you to understand this. Silence is irreverent in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Read on, Elder.
For all the mighty works that they had seen.
Praising him for mighty works.
Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord.
And they were saying, blessed be the King. Now there's only one King. And Isaiah identified him as the Lord God of Israel, thy King. Now they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. These titles are interchangeable. But it's not different persons. It's the same Isaiah's God from the Old Testament. Praise God. And they're worshiping. And they're giving him glory in the highest. Read on.
Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him.
Now the Pharisees don't ever like praise and worship. And David's old wife, Michal, she didn't like praise and worship. And if you want to be like some of the stinkers in the Word of God, you can join ranks with them. But you really don't want to be like some old witch in the window going, I don't like worship. I don't like worship. I don't like it. Or you can be like the Pharisees here. Make them be quiet. Make them be quiet. You don't like it because it makes you nervous. You don't like it because you don't know what to do with your hands. You don't like it because you're afraid you'll lose your dignity. You don't like it because you know if you ever get a crack in your facade, you'll open up and really begin to praise and magnify God. Read on.
Master, rebuke thy disciples.
They said, make them shut up.
And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.
Wait a minute. They were giving him glory. And the God of Isaiah said, I am the Lord, that's my name, and my glory will I not share with another. I'm not going to let anybody. Nobody gets the glory of God. Nobody gets the glory of God. And here they're giving Jesus the glory of God. And the Pharisees don't like it. And that's why they don't like it. Because glory is only for God. But Jesus said, if they hold their peace, what?
The stones would immediately cry out.
Somebody's going to praise me. This is an important day. I'm coming into Jerusalem and I'm going to have glory. You know why he didn't stop them? Because the God of Isaiah is the God Jesus Christ riding down into Jerusalem. Oh, somebody clap your hands and shout about it. Are you okay? Is this all right with you? Praise God. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he's the creator, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I've redeemed thee, he's a redeemer. I've called thee by thine name, thou art mine. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Verse 3, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. The Lord God, Holy One, and Redeemer, and King, and now he adds to the list, I'm your Savior. Praise God. We're going to go to Titus now. Brother Randy, it'll be Titus 1:1-4, and Titus 2:13-14. And while he's going there, I want us to talk about what constitutes Savior. And you might localize this scripture and say, well, yes, he was going to save Israel in the construct of this particular context. And this is what saving them was about here. But no. Let me tell you something. Savior is something that demarks the fact of man's fallen nature being redeemed by the blood of a perfect sacrifice. And at the time of Isaiah, there was no sacrifice except the lambs and the bullocks and the goats. And they didn't have the power, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Your Savior is the one who died for you. Your Savior is the one who shed His blood. Your Savior is the one that took the nails in His hands and His feet and the spear in His side. And the invisible, unapproachable God of Isaiah said, I'm the Lord your God. I'm your King. I'm the Holy One. I'm your Savior. Start reading in Titus.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness.
We love his salutations. Go ahead.
In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Praise God.
But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior.
Everybody say, God our Savior. And give your neighbor a high five and say, God's my Savior. And let's interchange it and say, my Savior is God. Okay, read on.
To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Wait a minute. He just said God was our Savior. Now he says Jesus Christ is our Savior. You know, Paul, you've been on the road a long time, my friend. They've been stoning you and beating you with rods. And I can understand how you'd be a little disoriented and get your facts all twisted up here. But verse 3 said, God is your Savior. Verse 4 says that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Go to that next entry, Brother Randy.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, God is my Savior. And my Savior is God. And Jesus Christ is my Savior. And my Savior is Jesus Christ. Okay, you're doing real well so far. All right? And then Paul's talking about the coming of the Lord, and he says that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Come here, Mario. Now, just the language. Just eighth grade English, okay? I don't want to frighten you, but this is simple. All right, here we come. And this is either, you only have two choices here. Someone's coming back, the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it's either going to be two, and one's the God, and others the Savior, Jesus Christ. Or, by the language, it's just one, and he is both Savior and God. So, it's either two, one's God and one's the Savior, one's God and one's Jesus, or it's one, and he's all the whole roll together, God and Savior and his name. Is Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. If we had the time tonight, I'd break out the Creed of Athanasius, Council of Nicaea, and we'd just all get confused. If you don't know what that is, that's where the Trinity started. It didn't exist in the Bible days. They invented it in Rome hundreds of years later. Why do you think we changed the words of the song tonight? It's a neat song, but at the end, you're not going to say, Blessed Trinity. You're not going to say that in this church. But you're going to say, Blessed Deity. I actually like the last line that says, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our praise shall rise to thee. And the last line says, There is no Trinity. He's the foundation stone. He's the great cornerstone. The church is built upon the knowledge that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You make a good prop. Are you okay? You doing all right? Just a couple more. Just a couple more. You all right? We ought to sing that. Holy, holy. You go on with yourself. I was raised Southern Baptist. I was raised on all that. Told me to shut down, fold my hands, don't make noise in church. I was 20 years old before anybody told me about the Holy Ghost. Nobody in that place told me about the Holy Ghost. My God. They told me that you just miraculously, mysteriously, silently, surreptitiously received the Holy Ghost when you prayed the sinner's prayer. So I was like Acts 19 when Paul said, have you guys received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, don't know. He said, well, how are you baptized? And they said, under repentance, like John. He said, that's it. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. After he baptizes them in Jesus' name, he lays his hands on them. They all get the Holy Ghost and they talk in tongues. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. God's beating a drum here. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The doctrine of the Trinity said that the Son comes out of the Father and the Holy Ghost comes out of the Father and the Son. It's a riot of wordplay, but it's man-made. But the Word of God said, I'm here all by myself. Nobody before me, nobody after me. I am God. And this singular God says in verse 11, I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. New Testament dwellers in 2008 like to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. But this God of the Old Testament has long since laid claim to that title. That only works. Your whole profession only works if you know that Jesus is literally God. I've declared and I've saved. I've showed when there was no strange God among you. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord. I am God. Praise God. 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. You hear him beating the drum? What is he doing? He's trying to wake them up. They've gone astray in polytheism. They've gone astray in idol worship and in false doctrines and in things that are not like God. But he's beating the drum and he's saying, wake up. There's only one God. Remember, I gave it to Moses on the mountain. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, your God, the Lord is one. He's trying to wake them to their heritage. Praise God. Well, the New Testament writers take up the same theme. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4.
There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Everybody say there's only one spirit. Listen to me. There's only one spirit. There's only one that is holy. Hence, he's called the Holy One. So the Holy One and the Holy Spirit are one in the same. Go ahead.
One Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
Not three lords. You can't have an Old Testament Lord and a New Testament Lord. There's only one Lord. One faith. Read on.
One baptism.
One baptism. Yeah, it matters how you're baptized. Yeah, it matters how you baptize. Peter, Paul, Philip, they all baptized in the name of Jesus exclusively, and there's only one baptism. What's wrong with you? Somebody picked your pocket. Read on.
One God and Father of all.
One God. This is a New Testament writer. Now he's beating the drum. One God.
And Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
And he was from the south and in you all. But you know, they told me that the one that came in you all was the Holy Spirit. And now Paul says that it was God who came in you all. So you got God in there and the Holy Ghost in there, and you've been singing since Jesus came into my heart. You all? You've been singing that? It's pretty complicated in there. Yeah. But when you get the revelation knowledge that there's just one Spirit, and He is the Spirit of the living God, the Holy One of Israel, the one that came down and robed Himself in flesh. Who's in there? Jesus is in there. Holy Ghost is in there. Word of God is in there. Mighty God is in there. The Lamb of God, the light of the world, the bread of life. He's all those things. But there's only one God. There's only one God. Praise God. Go on with your list there. Oh, more water. Excellent. Praise God.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him.
This is Colossians. This is Paul. And he's talking about the Christ. Go ahead.
And given him a name which is above.
Oh, you're in Philippians too.
Yes, sir.
All right.
2 and 9.
And given him a name that is what?
Which is above every name.
That
at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory.
Wait, the one that's talking to Isaiah in the Old Testament laid claim to the fact that he was Lord. But the New Testament said, this Jesus, he's got a name that's above every name. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's. Let me get you to entertain something. If there is a father that is separate from Jesus, that father's going to bow his knee, because the Bible says every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you don't have a complication there, because he's one in the same. And when you bow your knee before Jesus, you give glory to who?
To the glory of God the Father.
When you bow your knee and you proclaim Jesus is Lord, you give glory to God the Father, because God is in that name, Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, He is the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God. My God, clap your hands and lift up your voice unto Him. Brother Randy, just go to Colossians 2:8, 9, and 10. And we're going to stop here. Let's stand together.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Yeah, watch out, because people want to take this and put their own spin on this.
After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world.
You better check your theology and see if you got it out of a man's book of tradition and theology. You better go back to the Word of God. If you take that Bible to a preacher and you say, why don't you do it like Peter did? And he closes the Bible and says, I know more than Peter, or I know more than Paul. You've got serious problems in your, you got more serious problems with your pastor than Barack Obama has with his. Read on.
And not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the...
For in who?
Christ.
Christ. Everybody say Christ. Everybody say in him. Dwelleth. Lives. Abides. What?
All the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
One third of the Godhead.
All the fullness.
60% of the Godhead.
All the fullness.
Most of the Godhead. 99 9/10. No, when you're dealing with Jesus, you're dealing with all of the Godhead. It's in him. So I understand that you apostolics have a little different bend on theology. Let me ask you this. What part do you think Jesus has or plays in the Godhead? She answered. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is not in the Godhead. Tell them the God, poke them a little bit and tell them the Godhead is in Jesus. Every bit of it, every stitch of it. When you call on the name of Jesus, you've got the Father, you've got the Son, you've got the Holy Ghost. My God. One more little run. John chapter 1. verses 1 through 3. Everybody say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Read verse 2.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Yeah, 3.
All things were made by him.
He's the creator.
And without him was not anything made that was made.
That pretty much sews it up. If you're dealing with something that God didn't make, it's not real. You may be dealing with something, but if God didn't make it, it's not made. It's an illusion. You're dancing with shadows. Verse 10.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
Okay, let's take that apart. The world was made by him. Who made the world? That's chump change. Everybody knows that, right? God made the world, right? When did God come to the world and the world didn't know him? When he came as a humble carpenter's son, the lowly Nazarene. Praise God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. Let me give you a little more information here. Here's an alert for you. There's churches all over this city tonight, and they still don't know him. They've relegated him to a secondary position in an imaginary triune Godhead. But he's not. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, and the last. Read on.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
When did God come to the Jewish nation of Israel and they didn't receive him? When he came as the lowly Nazarene. And verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh.
Now who's the Word in verse 1? God. And the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word, or you can freely substitute, God was made flesh. You want to cross-reference? Go to 1 Timothy 3 and 16. God was manifest in the flesh. Read on.
And dwelled among us.
The Word was made flesh and came down to see about us and dwelled among us.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And we beheld him. We saw him. How did you see him? The Bible says God's invisible. How did you see him? You saw him as the only begotten of the Father. First the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, and then the doctors and the lawyers in the temple, and then the whole nation when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But Isaiah's in the background saying, "Behold, your God." Praise God. Why don't we just lift up our hands and love him? If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus,